The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America, and welcome to the program. The Donald Trump news, much to the chagrin of many Americans, half of America, does look like it is starting to connect the dots in a way that is going to be suboptimal for the president. The news you need to know, and the president needs to be able to explain, because this is not going away anytime soon. We begin there right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program. There are... we're going to probably have to do a chalkboard today on the connections here that are all starting to come together. Because of what the New York Times released last night, there is now an email. We have four people who have read it. So those are the sources of this email. We have not seen it. It has not been published. So assuming that this email is real, this changes absolutely everything in the Trump world. And everything about fake news and Russian collusion. There does seem to be collusion now, and at least there are some very difficult things to explain. And unfortunately, things that the president or his children, I mean, it looks like... Kushner could be going to jail. Maybe Don Jr. could be going to jail if these things are true. These are really disturbing now. We had smoke, but no necessary fire. It was a he said, she said situation 24 hours ago. But last night, the news of an email that was describing the meeting to Don Jr. From the Russians was there, and it spells out that it is the Russian government intel. Let's just go over the facts that we do have. A few months ago, first, Donald Jr. said, there was no meeting. I've never met with anybody. Then on Saturday, he said there was a meeting and it was about adoptions. It's interesting that he would say that this was about adoptions, because it is about adoptions in some ways, but it is about the Magnitsky Act. Now, that's named after a guy who was a really bad crime guy in Russia. This is the act that the United States under Obama put in to hurt the rich friends of Vladimir Putin. Do you remember when they went into Ukraine and they were screwing around with everything and we needed some sort of red line punishment? And we tried to just put sanctions on their banks, et cetera, et cetera. It did nothing. Putin laughed. And then we came back with this act. And this act went after the oligarchs and their money here in the United States. So how did Putin respond? We go after the bad guys. What does Putin do? He knows that there's a lot of Americans that will adopt babies and Americans go over to Russia to adopt these babies that aren't wanted. And so he stopped all Americans from adopting children in Russia. That was his, he was appealing to, or he was trying to crush the hearts of Americans. So we would go to our Congress and our president and say, we got to get these babies out of there, please. The government didn't do it. We didn't react that way. So when she said, or Don Jr. said, it was about adoption, it really wasn't about adoption. It was about relieve and overrule this act. Stop hurting our oligarchs. That way we can give you adoption. Now, there is one question here. Was there a quid pro quo? Was there, we'll give you some information, which he says doesn't make any, didn't make any sense, but you have to hear additional information now as the timeline starts to come in. This is, I'm telling you, this is as disturbing as the timelines we used to put together at Fox. This timeline works, unfortunately. He says that none of that made sense. And so they just went and talked about the adoption. Let's say it did make sense. You know what? Say it didn't. Say she was a crazy woman, but she was sent because we now know she is a government operative. If she went and said, look, Don, we need to get this out. If we give you this information, will you work with us to get rid of this act? And we'll make it all about adoption. We don't know, but that does seem reasonable, a reasonable approach. So first he said it was about adoption. Then he came back a day later and said, oh yeah, I did talk to her. And it was about Hillary Clinton stuff, but it didn't make any sense. He also said that he didn't tell anybody. He didn't tell Kushner and he didn't tell Manafort what that meeting was about. In fact, the words are, quote, refused to tell them what the meeting was about or who the meeting was with. That doesn't make any sense. A, why would these two show up? And why would you refuse to tell them about a meeting that was no big deal? That seems like you are giving plausible deniability to people because you know something isn't right. Okay, so now Donald Jr. says, yes, I did give this, she did give me this information, but it was no big deal. And instead of ending the meeting there, it went on for nearly 30 minutes. After that, we now know that she is, what's her name, Natalia
Veselnitskaya.
Veselnitskaya.
Come on. Veselnitskaya.
Yeah. Natalia Veselnitskaya. It already sounds, I mean, do we really need much more on her? But it has been.
It's technically, been yes, you do need
yes,
more
we
than
do,
that.
Yes, we do, but yeah. That seems like enough. She is now confirmed as an agent of the Kremlin. She represents government interests.
She's denying that, by the way, we should point out.
Of course she's.
She's saying that she is not an agent of the Kremlin. She does not work for them.
Okay. He now claims that he did refuse to tell anybody. So these guys show up to meet with somebody they don't know. They don't know what the meeting was about. I want to point out that they were both there. Kushner and Manafort were both there. Neither of those two disclosed this meeting. If she was no big deal, but she was saying, as this new email says that came out last night, a government-run operation has found information on Hillary Clinton and the DNC. So whether she was an agent or not, she is representing that the government of Russia has information. Neither Kushner, Donald Trump Jr., or Manafort disclosed this conversation, disclosed this email. you would think that it would be pretty important to say, oh, you know what? Maybe they were trying to elect, they were trying to throw the election towards me. Because look, we got this email from a Russian. And she said the Russian government had information that they were going to disclose. That's important information. How do you now spend a year denying that Russia was trying to affect the election when you have that email? Now, you could say she was a crazy woman, but why would you hold that information back? Why would you not disclose on your top secret clearance application that you had this meeting and this email? Also, Kushner had spoken with Sergey, how do you say his,
Kislyak.
Manafort had spoken to him in person at the Mayflower Hotel. Kushner would have another call with Kislyak, meeting him the Russian or Putin's banker. He disclosed neither one of those. Manafort was just weeks away from lying on TV saying that he hadn't met with any Russians. He had already met with her. Manafort later was fired from his dealings with the Russian allies in Ukraine. And remember, it is the reason why we were talking about adoption is because of the act that Barack Obama put in. Why? Because of Putin's actions in the Ukraine. So Manafort, as we told you during the election, was 1 degree away from Vladimir Putin while he was serving in the Ukraine. All of those things he denied until the evidence came out from the Ukraine. Here's where it really gets kind of dicey. Let me see if I can. They continued to deny all of these things. However, there is a date that is really important for you to know. And that is, here it is. Okay, so they spend 30 minutes with this woman on June 9th, and they say she didn't have anything to talk about. This is critical. Please explain this to me, boys. June 9th, she comes in, she says she has government intel gathered by the Russian government, she shares it, they say it makes no sense. They leave the meeting, she leaves Trump Hotel, and what do? They, according to records, spend the rest of the day writing a major speech about anti-Hillary Clinton intel. Trump says that he announced on June 9th, the same day they met, he announced that he was going to give a major speech on anti-Hillary intelligence. It was supposed to be given on June 13th, but that was the Pulse nightclub shooting, and so it had to be delayed. He gave it on June 22nd. The anti-Hillary Clinton speech that Don Kushner and Manafort prepared the day they met with this woman. During the speech, he claims that enemies of the U.S. had a blackmail file on Clinton. We say here, blackmail file is a word or a phrase used by the Russians. We just say it's blackmail. They have stuff that they're going to blackmail. They actually call that, they always refer to, when we just say blackmail, they always say blackmail file. Could be a coincidence. But he says they have enemies, have a blackmail file. Well, wait a minute. Who are you talking about? Did you get that on the day you wrote it? Did you get that from the Russians? Also, Trump has repeatedly told us that no one has ever secretly met with a Russian national. Now, who set up this meeting? This is unfortunate. we now know that it was Rob Goldstone. Goldstone is a Trump senior friend who Don Jr. met when Goldstone was judging the Miss America pageant when it was done in Moscow.
Miss Universe, yeah.
Miss Universe in 2013.
I'm in a weird location for
Miss America.
Yeah,
that would be strange.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. So if you see Rob Goldstone's picture on, is this Twitter? Yeah, this is Twitter. His tweets, unfortunately, he's usually wearing a shirt that says Russia or something like that.
Big fan of Russia. Had a Moscow Times picture with the cover of the Moscow Times. Yeah, definitely. But I mean, that's known, right? He was doing business dealings in Russia, which is how they know him.
Yes. Goldstone is a publicist who represents Amin. He's a singer of Trump's friend, who is a Russian billionaire and oligarch. Those two... the oligarch and Goldstone are good friends and a close associate of Vladimir Putin. So the singer's dad, the billionaire, is the most powerful Russian contact Goldstone has. He is a close personal friend with Vladimir Putin. Goldstone is the guy who set up the meeting with Natalia. That doesn't look good. None of this looks good.
It's also not proven, though, right? I mean, there's...
What's not proven?
We don't know that this speech was inspired by this meeting.
No, we
there's
don't.
There's a lot of things in there we don't know.
There's a lot of things that... There's a lot of things that we didn't know about George Soros, that we didn't know about Barack Obama. But when you tie the timelines together, you really have to ask yourself, am I being honest? I mean, we used to look at this stuff all the time, and the left would say, wait a minute, you don't know. Yes, we don't. We don't know. Mm-hmm. But the timeline is really, really becoming very difficult. Remember, I said there was no collusion. I said that there was nothing going on with the Russian agents and Trump and his family. I didn't believe any of it except for Manafort. None of it. I am now saying we better look into this.
And you have to wonder if these constant denials that wind up turning out the other way actually help him, his agenda, the conservative cause, anything. It seems to continually hurt it.
Yeah. And now this. The U.S. Bureau of Justice statistics show that gun homicides were cut in half while gun ownership has more than doubled. Americans understand that if you own a gun, you got to be responsible. It's a smart choice. And that's why the USCCA is here. They provide education, training, and legal and financial backup to responsible gun owners. This is so important. Please get this information. Membership prepares you for, you know, the moments before, during, and most importantly, they protect you after a self-defense shooting. Chances that you'll file a homeowner's claim is 1 in 900. Odds you need self-defense insurance, 1 in 1700. You've got health, you've got home insurance. Please, please visit the USCCA website. Go to protectanddefend.com. Be protected today. Protectanddefend.com. We
are one. The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Yeah. Go ahead. We want to take one thing. Everything I just told you hinges on whether this email that's reported from the email from the New York Times exists and says what they say it does. CNN and the New York Times, I know, have both verified that it exists, but we haven't seen it yet. But you should be mapping out in your head what's going to happen, what's our next move, what's best for the Republic and the conservative movement here, if indeed this is true. We'll give you some facts that may throw some new light on that next.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
I want you to know that I am on the record for two things. Thinking that Donald Trump was not a guy that should be president of the United States because of his the way he deals with people and things. However, I have been on the record for the last year saying I don't believe it for a second that Donald Trump was colluding in any way. I don't believe that his family was colluding. I could believe that Paul Manafort was, but not that Donald Trump would know about it, not that he would be a part of it, nor would his family. I never believed that, and have taken the media to task for conflating everything. I've been saying the thing that we have to concentrate on is the fact that they tried to hack into our systems and cause chaos in our election. I've said many times, I don't think Putin cared who won. All he wanted to do was have us fall into doubt and a civil war. He wants chaos. Now, with that being said, I still hold out hope that this is not what it seems. Because of the email that was released last night, there is real reason now to wonder and doubt. There are smoking guns that are beginning to appear. With that being said, until they produce the email and show us that it actually says, if I can say here, this material is part of a Russian government effort to aid your father's candidacy. If the email says anything like that, then the Donald Trump Jr. story completely falls apart. We don't know. CNN, The Times have had people check on the email. They have seen the email. They report, but they're not. Do you have faith in the New York Times or CNN?
But the question really is, if that email exists and says what they're saying it does that matter to Americans?
It has to. It must. It absolutely must.
How will you feel about it at that point?
Here's,
and it may not. It may be completely bogus.
Let me just give you a piece of history. 2000, and most people have forgotten about this. In 2000, Al Gore is given by an operative information about George W. Bush. And the information was right before a debate. Al Gore receives all of the debating notes and everything that George Bush is being prepped for on these debates. Before, believe this or not, before they even open up the book, they're handed this book. They bring it back to the headquarters and they say, Mr. Gore, or whoever, we were just handed this. This is the briefing book of George W. Bush for the next debate. Whoever was in charge, I don't know if it was Al Gore.
It was a lawyer. They handed it to a lawyer.
Okay.
And he turned it over to the FBI.
Immediately called the FBI. It was thought at that time by the Gore campaign to be treasonous to use that kind of information. Now, that is an internal American source handing over debate. Well, we saw that CNN was handing debate notes. Well, not CNN, but somebody worked at CNN handing debate notes to Hillary Clinton. So we've changed from that. However, this is an outside source. And I urge you not to say, well, but Hillary has done. Well, Hillary has met. she would have. Yeah, she probably would have. And that's why we don't like her. she was that kind of person. But as every parent has said, I'm not talking about what your sister is doing. I'll take care of that separately. Right now, we're talking about what you are doing. Somebody's got to be the adult in the room, because this is extraordinarily dangerous information.
Can't you make the argument, it's the son of a candidate who at the time doesn't look like he's going to win, who has some business contacts through an acquaintance, gets a call, and they say, look, I've got some information on your opponent. Sure, you're going to come to Trump Tower and we're going to meet. And yes, I don't even
have
to go.
Are you saying that this information exists? This email information exists? Does he have this information?
Yeah, well, that's the premise we're going on, right?
Okay.
And so, you know what? The guy's not versed in politics. He doesn't, you know, he's not like Al Gore's, you know, campaign staff. The guy hasn't ever done it before. And so he gets a call from somebody. He has a chance to get some information. Why not listen to the person and see what they have to say? Maybe it will be something good.
Okay. So I don't accept that everybody around the president, because he listens to his children, is an absolute nincompoop. With that being said, yes, okay, I'll take that and say, all right, yeah, I'm going to give you that and say, he was just an idiot at the time. He wanted dad to win, yada, yada, yada. Okay? He doesn't know. Paul Manafort knew. And Kushner is not a dummy. So now we have three people involved. And let me give you that. They didn't know. They just thought this was okay. They didn't think it was a Russian operative. Now you have to go to the next step. During the campaign, do they say that when people are saying that, you know, they're colluding with Russia? No, let's give them the benefit of the doubt that no, they didn't want to say anything during the campaign because it would, you know, muddy the waters and everything else. And it was a stupid incident. The moment he won and everyone was starting to say, have you met with any Russian people, any foreign nationals? Well, you could say they didn't know that she was. We didn't know she was part of the Kremlin. We didn't know she was a mouthpiece for Putin. Okay, I believe that. I can believe that. The question is, did you meet with any foreign nationals? The answer there is yes. Did you talk about the campaign with any foreign national? Yes, Natalia. And she said crazy, stupid things. We didn't believe it. I believe that. Mm-hmm. I can even go there. But I can't go to, I've denied it and denied it and denied it and denied it. And then, oh, it was just about an adoption. And then, oh, well, it wasn't about that. She also said she had bad things to say. And then the memo. If the memo is true, and we don't know, we have to take a word at this point of CNN and the New York Times. But if they've made this up, there's no credibility.
I mean, they reported the exact same way the existence of the Comey memos. Now, obviously, we know Comey. Then we do know that those actually at least exist. We don't know everything that's in them.
Yeah.
Some of them
we
are.
We do know they're contemporaneous, though.
They are contemporaneous.
Yeah,
we know that.
So, here's the thing. Pat's question is the right question. You know, because now you start to tie things like.
Does it matter?
Kushner then said when he got in, the first thing he tried to do, if you remember this back in January, was, I want a direct line to the Kremlin. I want a direct back channel line to the Kremlin. Okay, why does Kushner need a back channel that's secure to the Kremlin? I mean, we already have those things, you know, set up. If Trump needs to talk to Putin, what is that all about?
Again, that's after they already won, which is a big distinction. I mean, getting a direct line to them as they're an incoming administration, he's basically the top advisor to the president.
Right.
That part of it isn't intentionally crazy on its own.
No, I didn't have a problem when that story broke and everybody was freaking out. I'm like, of course he wants a back channel line. Mm-hmm. It's in the White House. But with all of this stuff, this is why it matters. Because unless you know, we may be having a puppet government or a government that is in collusion with the Russians. And the Russians are not our friends. When you have, I had no problem. Yesterday, I had no problem. People were talking about, why did he meet for 2 hours with Vladimir Putin behind closed doors? It was only supposed to go 30 minutes. What did they have to talk about for 2 hours? Shut up. They're the two world leaders. Of course they're going to talk more than... I would be concerned if they only talked for 30 minutes. Of course they have stuff to talk about. But now with the introduction of this email, that concerns me. Because this email and the timeline of the writing of the speeches and the releasing of WikiLeaks and all of these things tied together, now it just puts doubt in, well, wait a minute, is there something else going on? Should we know? Should he be meeting behind closed doors for 2 hours with Putin? And then when asked, give several different answers? What were they talking about? That's not healthy. That's just not healthy. I'm sure everything they talked about was in our national interest and in our best interest. But you can't have... You must answer these questions. And you have to look at it and say, I'm not talking about the other person. I'm not talking about anything. I'm talking about what does this mean for the Republic? If you have somebody who's done this, remember, we had a problem with somebody in their security clearance. These are felonies now. People will go to jail if this is true.
And like, but the one of the issues with this meeting is just the timing of it. I mean, you brought it up a couple of times, but it was June 9th. Okay. June 9th
of 2016.
Donald Trump's first tweet ever about the 33,000 emails that were missing from Hillary Clinton was June 9th. That same day.
Wow.
So then about
what time? Was it after the meeting?
I don't have it is after the meeting, but I don't have the exact times. But again,
and they both and Kushner and Manafort go immediately from that meeting and they begin to write a speech on Hillary Clinton's.
It's an interesting coincidence, but that's
blackmail.
It may very well be. I mean, look, it wasn't like people weren't talking about Hillary Clinton's emails. I mean, they were.
I know, but
and he's not saying that. But again, at this point, they have not been released yet. The Democratic National Committee emails had not been released yet by WikiLeaks. Mm-hmm. So July 18th, Trump and the GOP convention, there was that story about them changing the platform. This is about a month later. They changed the platform that helps Russia. July 21st,
it's amazing coincidence.
The GOP.
A couple of coincidences.
See, I have to tell you, this is not stuff that we brought up. We did at the time, but we've let it go. Because he won, I don't believe there was collusion, but now with the release of this email and you tie all this stuff together, it is not looking good.
You got a couple of coincidences there.
That's it.
That's what you have. A couple of coincidences, right?
Things happen, you know,
what are you
and sometimes
do?
They happen in one order and sometimes they happen in the other order.
Right.
Right.
Now this, stop dreaming, start doing. Your home improvement project won't happen on its own. Take the first step with Blinds.com. Why Blinds.com? First of all, their selection is the most complete. They sell more window treatments online than anybody else in the world. And their site is unbelievably huge, no matter what you want. Well, I don't think they sell flags that you can put up in a window. Sorry, Jeffy. But they sell all other window treatments besides the Confederate flag. It is shades, shutters, drapes, everything. Blinds, obviously at blinds.com. They'll send you free samples to make sure everything looks as good in person as it does online. And if you accidentally mismeasure or pick the wrong color, they'll remake your blinds for free. Every order gets free shipping. And now through July 18th, save up to 30% on select products at Blinds.com. Plus, you'll save an additional 5% with the promo code Beck. Blinds.com, 30% off select products. Promo code Beck, an additional 5% off. It's Blinds.com, promo code Beck. Rules and restrictions do apply.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, I really want to take your phone calls. You know how we feel. I want to hear how you feel.
I feel like it's an amazing coincidence. A couple of amazing coincidences. That's how I feel.
I want to hear how you feel. The number is 888-727-BZK. I'd like to take your call and just measure how you feel. Now, we're going on a couple of things. Remember, yesterday I said that it wasn't good, but we didn't make a big deal out of it. Wasn't good. But you know, we don't have anything yet. It's still he said, she said, but it wasn't looking good.
Apparently, we have a little bit more now.
Yeah, apparently this is a smoking gun.
You know, and like we said, how many times have we made the point? Bill Clinton, the mistake we made with Bill Clinton, because the argument was he did do this with Monica Lewinsky. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. And we always said, well, okay, if he did do this, does it matter? And we never made that case. We never asked that question until it was too late, until he finally admitted he did.
We should have been asking.
We should have been asking, does it matter?
Does it matter?
And that's what we should ask now. Does it matter?
Does it matter? Does it matter, Stu? Pat? Jeffy?
Of course it matters.
Oh, if he actually did collude with Russians?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Of course it matters. I mean, we don't know that. You said a smoking gun. We don't know.
Well, if we have a smoking gun, if this email exists the way they say it does,
it's a real problem. Yeah.
It's a real problem.
Now, at least for Donald Jr. I mean, it just...
Right. Well, Donald Jr. will go to jail, but that means that Kushner... he should, just like Hillary Clinton should have gone to jail. That means Kushner knew and hid it. It means Manafort knew and hid it. And it means Donald J. Trump knew, Jr., and hid it. We'll take your phone calls next. I really want to hear your point of view. Does it matter if there was collusion?
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
So you got to travel for business, and you're going to book a flight. Why not save money for your company and get an Amazon gift card? Today's Prime Day.
What? Yes.
That's right. The Amazon gift card can get you a lot of money and get you a lot of stuff at Amazon, but you can get a gift card from a bunch of places. You go to Upside.com. You book your business travel. They're going to, number one, save you money over the other sites. Number two, they're going to give you a gift card, which is going to, you can spend on whatever you want. It's yours. Number three, they're going to give you options. Which say, hey, do you mind leaving a couple hours later, a couple hours earlier? Because if you do, we'll save you another $100 or whatever it is. They'll give you more in gift cards, and the trip costs even less. This is Upside. They do a great job with this. It's a brand new way to book business travel, and it's really changing the way people do it. Upside's the real deal. Go to Upside.com today. Plus, when you use promo code Beck, you're guaranteed to get at least a $100 Amazon gift card for your first trip. It's code Beck to get a $100 gift card. Amazon.com gift card. Upside.com is the site. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. We're so glad that you've joined us today. We have to give our thoughts and prayers to all the people that were on the KC-130, the refueling plane that crashed in Mississippi yesterday. A senseless incident, and it looks like the plane had structural failures. No kidding, that's a huge plane, and most of them were built in the 1960s, and they are workhorses. I mean, you know, we could stand to perhaps upgrade our military and stop living during the Cold War and provide our men the best equipment that is available. Again, our thoughts and prayers go to the crew and the families of the 16, at least 16, that died yesterday. I want to talk to you about the Donald Trump Russian scandal, the Donald Trump Jr. scandal. There was a email that came out last night that changes everything if, and I stress if, it is true. We begin there right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. Here's what you need to know. The new information from yesterday. We spent very little time on this yesterday because what we had was a he said, she said. We had a Russian operative, or at least a foreign national from Russia, that we now know is deeply connected to the Kremlin and Putin. We knew that this foreign national met with Donald Trump Jr., Kushner, and also Manafort. We know that Manafort has dealings with Russia, and that's not good, and he's already left the service. We also knew yesterday that the story kept changing with the Trump side about this meeting. And in fact, it was a felony had they not reported this. But for some apparent reason, a few weeks ago, they all put this and changed their application for top secret security clearance. They suddenly remembered this and put it onto their top security clearance. Had this come out without them changing it a few weeks ago, well, until we learned about Hillary Clinton, I would have assumed jail time. But I'm not convinced that people except people like you actually go to jail in this country anymore. That's what we knew yesterday. But then there was an email that was released, or at least the information in the email. CNN and the New York Times have both confirmed this in the way they did about the Comey memos, that several people have had eyes on it, and we're taking their word that that's what it said. This is so critical that I don't think we take anybody's word. We don't assume that this email is real, exists, or even says this, because I believe the consequences of this email are astronomical. So when they produce the email, then we can have the talk about what the ramifications are. What I want to talk to you about is, if the facts are as they appear to be, and they're beginning to be really quite significant, meeting on the same day that after this meeting happened where they said they had nothing, they went into a meeting to write the first speech about how a foreign government has a file on blackmail for Hillary Clinton. Was that a coincidence? That the first time that Donald Trump tweets about the 33,000 missing emails is also that same day, later that night, that they write that speech and he announces the next day that he's going to give the speech on how there's a blackmail file from a foreign government. Those are pretty damning just in and of themselves. Then you have other things that also build up that are significant. But to me, the most significant is the denial by all three of them that this meeting even happened until a few weeks ago. Here's what the email apparently said. In the email, it was expressed that the material was part of a Russian government effort to aid Donald Trump Jr.'s father's candidacy, according to three people with knowledge of the email. All right, let's hear from you. Donna in Pennsylvania, go ahead.
Hi, Glenn. Thank you for taking my call. Good morning. First of all, I want to start by saying I do not condone lying. And should they have lied? If this is all true, absolutely not.
Good for
that
you.
Being said, at what point is one team better than the other?
Oh, they're not.
If I was an attorney, I would look for any factual evidence, intel that I could find to win. So if you're getting factual information that is going to hurt the opponent so that you can win and drain the swamp from one bad guy to the next, who's to decide which is the better of the two bad guys?
Okay, so hang on just a sec, Donna. Let me just—I'm not arguing with you. I just want to ask you a couple of questions.
I love you guys personally. I think we should strip the administration and you three run the country.
That would be a very bad idea. But Donna, so let me ask you this question, because I understand if you're going to get bad guy information, you know, or you're going to get information from somebody, you know, do you take it? Do you use it? If it's factual, yes. However, the difference here is this is coming from a foreign national. So it's a foreign, how this was presented was not that this woman had this information from inside the country, that someone in Russia was gathering all of this dossier and had all kinds of factual information from somewhere inside of Russia. Would you say that that is something that a citizen should report to the FBI, because no foreign nationals are ever involved and can be involved legally with a campaign? And if you say, well, no, because it's during the campaign, does it change it when you continue to deny it after your candidate has won?
I don't think they should have denied it to begin with. However, who can you trust in our intel agencies? Who were they to go to with the information, and would it have been put out there? Everything that seems to have been said was true about the Obama administration and Clinton. And where are they? They're all still sitting in their houses, all pretty. And like you said, we would all be in jail. So who do you trust? Who were they to take it to?
Yeah.
How could they have gotten that information and gotten out to the public, whether it helped him or not, which it probably did, but we needed to know that. So where do you go with that if you can't trust the people you're supposed to tell?
Well, I will tell you this. There's nobody better at getting information to the public than Donald Trump. If Donald Trump had that information, he could have used the information, which he did in just a few days later. The speech that was written on the same day, he did use that information, and he said that there is the Russian government, or I think he said that there's a foreign government that has blackmail information, a blackmail file on Hillary Clinton. So he was saying that. However, what makes this really disturbing is he apparently knows that this was happening, at least now, with his family. And he continues to deny that the Russians were involved in trying to affect our election at all. That's disturbing to me. Joe, in Indiana, welcome to the program.
Hi, Glenn. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wanting to call in and tell you about another coincidence that I came across this week when I started reading Donald Trump's first book, The Art of the Deal. In the first 50 pages or so, the first chapter, he talks about a week in the life of him and what his schedule looks like and some of the different conversations that he's had. And one conversation in particular struck me, and I had to read it aloud to my wife when I was reading it, because he goes on about a deal that he was approached with trying to do something with a building a hotel. I don't know the address exactly, but it talks about being across the street from the Kremlin. And this is back in 1986. And it's just sort of odd. And it struck me because I remember him talking about over the last year how he's had no deals with Russia and no, you know, never. It seemed, at least I was led to believe that He never tried to have a deal, and maybe that maybe this deal didn't go through, but it just seems sort of fishy. And now that this information that you've been talking about for the last hour or so has come out, it just, yeah, it definitely stinks like something.
Joe, thank you for your call. I don't know if he's ever said that he didn't. He said that he didn't have any current business
deals. He definitely said he never did business with Russia.
Which I don't think he has.
Well, no, he definitely had the Miss Universe pageant in Moscow.
Yeah. I interpret that, giving him the benefit of the doubt. I interpret that as I'm not building a golf course or a, you know, or a hotel or something like that.
And I think the best reading for him is he doesn't have any current dealings there. I don't think he could even deny that he's never had any dealings there. I mean, certainly he had a publicized television situation with Miss Universe that was held there.
Let me go to Dave in Florida. Hello, Dave. You're on the Glenn Beck program.
Hello. Thank you all for everything you all do. You asked, do I care or do we care if there's collusion? Of course we care if there's some sort of collusion. The question is, colluding for what? What activity? Are they colluding to hack into the Federal Elections Commission? Yeah, I care about that. Are they talking to each other to reveal important information, like, for instance, maybe Hillary Clinton's got spies from Russia in her campaign? That's a bit of data that can be relayed and then independently verified elsewhere. So I don't care if a candidate is talking to a foreign country to gather information and then independently verifies it. I do want to know what collusion and meddling mean, and there's so much intentional vagueness by the media on this that it really bothers me. And finally, we need to see the email. We need the facts.
Okay.
What are the facts?
So, Dave, I agree with you on we need the email. None of this, this is bothersome, but it is not looking like jail time unless the email exists. What is, so the email has to be produced, and it has to say what the New York Times and CNN is reporting that it says.
And we should point out pretty specifically, the article makes it clear they have not actually seen it. There's a lot of three sources. Like, we talked to sources, and the email indicates this. Well, there's not quotes from the email in there. There are, and this is a weird line the press keeps walking down, which is troublesome.
Yeah.
If you don't see the freaking email, then don't make a report on it.
Well, the Washington Post would have never run this back in Nixon Watergate. Wait, you have three people that have seen it?
Yeah.
Well,
how about you seeing
it? What does it say? Have you seen it?
Because they don't even have the quote. It's the indicates. There's a lot of weird wording there that makes me nervous on that.
So one. I agree with you. And that's why none of this is valid until you actually have the email. But Dave, when you're talking about this particular thing, again, assuming the email exists, are you concerned at all that the president and his children have denied the existence of this meeting for so long, denied that there was any kind of talk about the election and my campaign? I mean, they have all been very strong. No foreign national has met with us at all about the campaign. No Russian has, and they all were very clear. That is clearly not true.
Yes, that concerns me. That's why I was a never Trumper, never voted for him, but then I gave him a clean slate afterwards.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the facts to tell me whether or not I can really trust any of these people.
Yeah, I agree with you. The problem here is that we are sitting in a country, and this is why we talked about that book, Authenticity, yesterday, and why I've been reading some of the things I'm reading. I'm trying to figure out where we are. How did we get here? And there's a couple of things. One is this has been very well orchestrated. And I'm in the middle of researching and writing a book now that will show you an event that happened in the late 1950s that planned this very scenario, how do we get the West to distrust everything? How do we defrag the American story, the American ideals, the American heroes? How do we get people to not trust the Congress? How do we get people to not trust the president and the media? And more importantly, how do we get people to believe that they've been disenfranchised, that they are oppressed, even if there is no oppression? If they say, well, I haven't been oppressed, how do we convince them that you're so oppressed that you don't even think you've been oppressed. It's an amazing thing. When we finish the research, we'll start telling you about this, but it's going to blow you away. And what a surprise, it's all in the educational system. So I've been researching this, and I've been researching the human mind and the American psyche and how we speak to each other, and how did we get here to where everything is fake, that we have fake news and a reality show host as president. We're looking for something authentic. That's why Donald Trump won. And I never understood that until recently. And I want to share a little bit with on that with you here in just a second. First, our sponsor this half hour is Goldline. So we are now talking about punishing the Chinese entities with North Korea. A clear signal that the Trump administration is prepared to act alone in tightening the economic screws on North Korea by punishing the Chinese companies and the banks that do business with North Korea. I talked to somebody yesterday who's been really researching and following North Korea, and it was such a defeatist attitude. He was like, we are definitely going to war. And I'm like, no, we're not. Sanity will prevail there. We're definitely going to war, Glenn. There's no way out. Okay, not good. Especially if people get their back up against a wall. China gets their back against the wall. Trump gets his back up against the wall. Not good. That can change everything and cause a major disruption to our dollar and our economy. I want you to read about the five threats that are real threats to the economy. I want you to call 866-465-3546. It's absolutely free. It was written by President Reagan's budget director, David Stockman. He said there are five things that could tube this thing quickly that every American should be aware of. It's absolutely free. 866-465-3546. And then I want you to talk to Goldline and talk to them about how for as little as $2,500, you can get 3 months of price protection on gold. And the more you spend, the more protection you get. So all the way up to a year, if you invest $25,000 in gold, up to a year, they will guarantee the same price of gold. Gold's never been lower. It is a great price to win, a price to buy. Read their risk information. Call 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. We're going to take your phone calls, and I want to get into what we were just talking about, but I'm, running against... running up against the clock here. I've got 30 seconds. Let me take Mike real quick in Pennsylvania. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Glenn. Listen, I don't care if Donald Trump had lunch with Vladimir Putin and they went on vacation together and laughed how they were going to beat Hillary. That's true. Listen, our guy won, Glenn. And for the longest time, we've expected other people to play by the rules, and they don't, and we do. And, I mean, do you think we would have felt any better if Hillary won and we found that Donald Trump just pushed away it? I don't want to hear anything from Russia. Well, at least Donald played by the rules. We still lost, but we get to feel good about that. We wouldn't have, because we'd still be stuck in the same position we are. And he's as close as we've gotten to some kind of, any kind of revolution at all.
Okay. And, Mike, you know, I thank you very much for your phone call. I'm up against the break. Sounds like you've been reading Saul Alinsky. Back in a minute.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
So I want to talk to you a little bit about authenticity and how we are looking for authenticity, and how I didn't understand what Donald Trump was tapping into. He is very good at... let me just say this. I've never found the guy authentic. I haven't found him. He'll say what he needs to say to whichever crowd. He'll change his points of view, et cetera, et cetera. I've never found him authentic, and I've never understood that. How so many people say, he's speaking for me. What he did, what he captured that I didn't understand, and it shocks me that I didn't understand it, was the real anger and distrust that had moved us into a new place entirely. I want you to read a book called Tribal Leadership. Tribal Leadership, if you just read the first third of that book and forget about that this is talking about how to run a company and look at it about how this country is the shape it's in without anything to do with Donald Trump, you will see that we are a stage one and stage two country, which means we are people that have pretty much given up that anything's going to get better. And we haven't lost in all hope. Stage one is where you've lost all hope and life sucks and you have high suicide rate, high crime rate. People start burning things down to the ground. Any of this sound familiar? Because they just don't feel like any of it's ever going to change and we just have to burn it all down to the ground. Stage two is where I think the majority of Americans are, and that is, my life sucks. I'm not making any progress. I'm not living any of my dreams. I'm not going to be able to send my kids to college. And it all sucks because of fill in the blank. You don't appeal to a stage one or stage two group of people unless you speak that same language. And so when I heard Donald Trump, I didn't hear any soaring, we're better than this kind of stuff. But that wouldn't have connected to the American people. You have to be able to speak the language of it all sucks because of. It all sucks because of Hillary Clinton. It all sucks because of the press. It all sucks because of whatever. And they can be real answers. I haven't had a raise forever because Obama has shafted us because I can't afford my health care. All real. It's why when Hillary started taking the soaring speeches, it didn't work for her. A, nobody believes her. And B, it's not where the people of America are right now. So that's why people feel that Donald Trump is authentic. He's speaking their language. And let's just say that last call, because that is a stage two call. That guy who just called and said, look, we keep losing. And, you know, maybe it's time we do something and play by no rules because they don't play by rules. Okay. Let's take that and say Donald Trump's son, so far we don't have any evidence that Donald Trump knew, but Donald Trump's son did all of these things. The problem with this is people keep making this about Hillary Clinton. I get it. I understand Hillary Clinton. I understand Hillary Clinton is no better. I understand that Hillary Clinton got away with this and much more. How many people did they murder, Pat? What was it?
I think it's over 100 now.
Over 100
yeah,
now.
Well, so it's over 100.
You know, they're killers. So
yeah.
Anyway, Hillary never got punished for the things like, you know, her good friends stealing documents out of the National Archives, or she's just taking top secret stuff out. We had a problem with that because it went to our national security and put people in danger. And even the Democrats knew she was a crook and was like, you know, I just don't trust her and I'm tired of her getting away with it. That's why her base wasn't revved up. That's why Bernie Sanders did have a base that could have swept. That's why Donald Trump had that base that could have swept because they thought they're different. So she lost. She's out of our life. He's the president. Let's say that all these things happened and it was just because we got to do something. Okay, all right. Here's the problem with this. Everything that happened after he became president is very disturbing. First, over and over. No contact with any foreign nationals. This woman appears to have deep connections to the Kremlin. She's not a spy, but deep connections to the Kremlin. And she's a foreign national. Everybody who goes in has to sign a piece of paper. I have not met with any foreign nationals. Okay, they lied about that. No collusion. We never met with a foreign national who ever brought up the election. Okay, they all said that they didn't, but maybe they just don't want to go to jail. Okay, so, and they think that's all we did and that was the only thing. All right. Then you get into felonies. No disclosure on your top secret clearance. So now I'm willing to commit a felony by leaving something off that's very, very important. Now you're starting to get into Hillary Clinton territory. And even that, I wouldn't argue. Here's where it gets into problems. No Russian hacking into our or American organizations. That's what Donald Trump and his team has been saying for a long time. There's no evidence of Russian hacking. Remember the whole thing? WikiLeaks is not connected to the Russians. Well, we knew that the Russians were the ones hacking. He said he denies that it was the Russians. He made us doubt the CIA and the NSA. Well, we now know that the Russians were the ones that were hacking in. We have that from multiple credible sources, not just American sources, multiple sources. We know that they have been doing it in other countries, and yet for some reason our president still denies, even though, if this email is right, we now have evidence that the people in his own team knew that that information from WikiLeaks was coming from the Russian government. Again, worse news. Russian hacking into polling centers. The president has repeatedly said, and he said it again last week, the Russians are not trying to hack into our elections. Yes, they were. The all of the data shows that they were trying to do it. In fact, the reason why they weren't successful in Illinois is because they were hacking at the statewide level because they were thinking like Russians instead of like Americans and trying to hack into the local level. We also know they hacked into one of the companies that made the polling machines. Did that change the election? That's not the argument. The argument needs to be what Congress has continued to ignore. They are hacking in to affect and cause chaos, and this was their first attempt. We must fix this before the 2018 election or the 2020 election, because foreign nationals, a Russian government, is hostile towards our election and hacking in. The president continues to deny this. And the last was he actually proposed, and his cabinet thought it was a good idea until common sense reined it all in 2 days later, that we should unite and share cybersecurity with the Russians. I'm sorry, but if you're Donald Jr., you go to your dad and say, Dad, I didn't tell you this, but you should know. The Russians came and we used information and I gave you information that I got from the Russians because they were the ones hacking in on Hillary Clinton. We can't do cybersecurity. You can't continue to go out there and say that the Russians didn't hack. You need to make sure. You don't even have to say that we colluded. You don't have to say that. You could blame it all on me. I took it. I was stupid. I didn't do any collusion. I didn't do any of that. But I did meet with them, and I know this information to be true. You've got to pay attention to what the Russians are doing because it's a danger to the country. That has to be done. And the fact that our president is standing by and protecting Russia and saying things like we need to unite and share cybersecurity, that there is no hacking in our polling centers, is dangerous to the republic. I don't know how we we don't go there. I don't know how we as all Americans, we take our team jersey off. This is not about the election. This is not about Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton is not going to come in if everybody, God forbid, died in a plane crash. Hillary Clinton still does not become president. It's Mike Pence, who, quite honestly, the left is more afraid of Mike Pence than they are of Donald Trump. But Hillary is not coming back. So this has nothing to do with Hillary. This has everything to do with protecting the Republic. Does any of that matter? Your phone calls coming up in just a second. First, let me tell you about Simply Safe. You can leave the lights on at night. You can check your kids' bed every hour or so. Or you can rest easy knowing that your family is safe and your children are protected. When you install a Simply Safe home security system, you're arming your home with the most powerful sensors that will actually tell you if a door opens or if a window breaks. There's a 105 decibel siren that alerts you to the first sign of trouble, be it fire or somebody's breaking into your house. And you also have a dedicated team of security professionals that are watching over your system 24/7, ready to send the police. That alarm goes off, they're calling the police. Simply Safe. No long-term contracts. It's only $14.99 a month. That's for the around-the-clock monitoring. You own the system. It's unbelievably affordable. In fact, right now, they're having their biggest summer sale ever. $100 off the exclusive summer package. It's for a limited time only. Go to simplysafebeck.com. That's $100 off their summer package. simplysafebeck.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. 888-727-BECK.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Let me go to Don in New York. Hello, Don. Go ahead.
Glenn, you've taught us a lot about Zelensky and what he's the divide and conquer thing. He's got us right where he wants us. And conservative radio, Republicans are all falling for it. You ought to stay on point. There's very important things that are happening around us that are probably all this confusion is designed to distract us. And we see it. We see people rioting over Trump and all this. I'm a Ted Cruz guy, and I think Zelensky's got us where he wants us.
Yeah, I mean, it is really endgame time for the left. And the question is, do you fight fire with fire or do you fight fire with water? And I'm convinced that there is an opportunity here where there is a lot of people on the right and the left that want water, not more fire, that they are tired of the yelling back and forth and the name calling and all of that. And they are returning to rational thoughts. They're spitting themselves out and they're like, wait a minute, I don't want to live this way anymore. And now they're pondering, but they don't know where to go. There's no one leading that charge with the people who feel like you do or I do that say, I don't want to live this way anymore. There's got to be a better way. What am I missing? And we each think that the other side is the devil itself. I'm convinced that there's a lot of people on the other side that aren't the devil themselves. We may disagree on policies, but we can find our way to each other on principles. Now is the time because we're in a crucible and there are people waking up. Let me go to Carrie in Connecticut. Hello, Carrie.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
From going down and campaigning in South Carolina, mm-hmm. up the coast, I saw that people were going to vote for Trump, as you had one guest on, the only guest that came on from the Trump campaign.
Yeah.
And afterwards you said about her that everyone just wanted to win.
Yeah.
And that is it. And this thing with Zelensky, which is so true, I hate saying the right or the left.
Yeah.
everybody, the two sides, like you take the football field, are just want to win and have taken this because the other side did it.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's and, it's behavior, Carrie, that we would not accept from our children. We're saying things.
Well, she
that
did
children
it first.
Say. Yeah, and somebody has to be an adult. Carrie, thanks yep. for your call. Let me quickly take Bill in California. Hello, Bill. You're on the Glenn Beck program.
Yeah, hi. I'm one of these people that's tired of all this junk going on and the constant, the emails and everything else. Yeah. When, you know, it didn't matter before when it was Hillary. I mean, she's never going to be punished. So if she's not ever brought to justice, then I don't think anybody should at this point. I'm tired of this. It's like, you know, the only thing we can do is what we can do ourselves.
Is just let anybody do it whatever they want.
Well, no, I mean, this is the Bubba effect. And remember, yeah, the Bubba effect is rational. The Bubba effect happens when people like Bill in California, and I understand you, Bill, 100%. Why should I pay for the crime?
Yeah.
However, when she didn't. However, you've got to try to stop that ball from rolling. Because believe me, you will be persecuted or prosecuted. I'm sorry, wrong.
Mercury.
Seared chicken, creamy pasta salad with summer squash and sweet peppers.
Yes,
creamy,
please.
Fresh basil fettuccine pasta with sweet corn. Chili butter steaks.
Oh, wait, talk me into it.
Okay. Parmesan potatoes.
All right.
I got it.
Fine.
Okay. Will you take my order, please?
Yes, please. These are the things, just some of the upcoming meals on Blue Apron. Blue Apron will help you make the most delicious gourmet meals you can imagine for less than $10 per person per meal. And how do they do that? They send you all the ingredients, the exact amount that you need.
Better than frozen pizza bites?
Yes, a lot better than frozen pizza bites. And they come right to your home. You can make it yourself, and you will be the hero of your household because you will be actually
hot
delivering
pockets.
The best. No, not they're better than Hot Pockets. Wow. Even Jim Gaffigan would agree. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/stew. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. It's blueapron.com/stew. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America. Charlie Gard, the 11-month-old in England. The judge made a ruling yesterday. And the good news is there is not a person alive who would not want to save Charlie. And if there is new evidence, I'll hear it. You bring the new evidence to me, and I'll consider all the evidence and see if it changes the situation. You have until Wednesday to submit your new and powerful evidence demonstrating that your son should be kept alive.
What?
Are you crazy? I mean, this is nuts.
That's crazy.
This is nuts.
That was the Supreme Court?
That was their Supreme Court said, I'll give you 2 days to present the new powerful evidence. Also, powerful evidence from Bernie Sanders. Oh, my. That Obamacare, what's happening to Obamacare right now, what the GOP is trying to do, will result in millions dead. You have to hear the amazing thing, and then I'm going to give you the greatest gift ever given to Obamacare. Oh, yes.
Nice.
I have some new facts from a new study I haven't heard anywhere. Oh, you're going to love them. Let's get started right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Because we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Because we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right, let's start. With Bernie Sanders, here is the ever affable and lovable Bernie Sanders on healthcare.
Now, obviously, nobody can predict
exactly how many people will die if they lose their coverage. Nobody can make that prediction.
Still, you're going to
try.
But
what experts at the Harvard School of Public Health estimate is that if 23 million Americans were to be thrown off the insurance they currently have, which is what the House bill would do.
Wait, they'd be thrown off?
No, they would not be thrown off the health care rolls.
Right.
They're not thrown off. What may happen is some people might choose not to purchase the Obamacare plans. They may choose not to get insurance because they can now, but they're not thrown off.
Okay.
Up to 28,000 Americans
dead
every single year.
Okay, you're gonna love this.
Die.
You're gonna love this. Okay.
I mean, that is unreal.
There is a new study that is out. In fact, several studies. In Oregon, researchers studied the effects of expanding Medicaid coverage and found zero improvement in health outcomes. Numerous other studies support this finding on specific conditions and procedures for Medicaid expansions for public health spending generally. Where studies do find that Medicaid has had a positive effect, it was for pregnant women and young children. Unfortunately, that group, that coverage was not expanded by Obamacare.
Oops.
So where it has had a positive effect is women and children. Now, buckle up because I'm taking your ears on the greatest ride of their life. In 2015, the age-adjusted mortality rose and life expectancy declined in the United States for the very first time since the 1990s. Nor is it the case that states adopting the ACA's optional Medicaid expansion perform better than those rejecting it. In fact, mortality in 2015 rose more in Medicaid expansion states. Despite implementation of the ACA, there were 80,000 more deaths in 2015 that had mortality continued to decline during 2014-2015 at the same rate as during 2000 to 2013. So, or from 2000 to 2013. 80,000 more deaths in 2015, 2014,
under Obamacare
than there were in all of the years leading up to it.
So Obamacare is actually killing people.
You could read it that way.
Yes, you could. And I'm going to, since they're doing the opposite.
Exactly right.
Yeah,
they're saying they're making up numbers. These are the actual numbers. Since Obamacare passed, there has been 80,000 more deaths. Since Obamacare passed, there is not a study out there that shows that anyone had any positive effect from expanded Medicare except for women and children. And women and children, that coverage was not expanded.
And you know why? It's bizarre, but you know why they think those numbers are like that? It's not because you go to the doctors.
Yeah.
Like healthcare improves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's because are you going into this? I don't want to.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because they believe what is happening is people who did not have insurance before, who are healthy, okay, and don't really need insurance, you know, or would not have needed it. They would got through the year, they would have been healthy, but they were previously uninsured. Now they are a good portion of these people have been able to get access to things like opioids, which are starting addictions. And they are overdosing. The overdose rate is actually explaining much of the difference in the death rate. It's showing up in places where Medicaid was expanded at a higher rate than in places where it wasn't. So we know the opioid thing's really bad for everybody. However, it's worse in places where you've increased and given away free insurance, where the people are to get the free drugs and they can start addictions or worsen them, or free up money to buy worse things like heroin.
Isn't that fun?
And
that's so fun.
I mean, like, again, you can never predict these things. There's always unintended consequences. Certainly, Obamacare was not passed with the idea to kill people.
No.
But it's still... And again,
it's not Obamacare that has killed people. It is people choosing now what to do with their money or their doctor that's killing 80,000 more people.
Although...
And that was 1 year, and I'm not going to do what the left does. I'm just want to point out that when it comes to Medicaid, there is, with the expansion, grandma's not going to lose her Medicaid. Mm-hmm. Who's going to lose and have to go on to the government dole in another way are the only ones that were expanded, and that those were for adults that aren't in a special, you know, need. They're not the elderly, and they're not the women and children. That's who is supposed to be covered by all of this. The groups that grew, there was no impact. The only impact in positive health was for women and children, and that part was not expanded.
It's really beautiful of you to put it that way, but I am going to do what the left does, and I'm going to say Obamacare is single-handedly killing 80,000 Americans a year.
Oh my God.
80,000 Americans a year with its bare hands, killing them.
I mean,
murdering innocent Americans. Obamacare.
Blood. Running spewing, in the streets.
Piles of bodies everywhere.
Yeah.
Women and children running for their lives.
Heads on pikes.
Cats and dogs living together. It's really a bizarre thing to look at, though, because this stuff happens all the time. How many other programs have we talked about? Government programs that get implemented and do the opposite. We raise minimum wages.
So
we lower.
Often.
That just happened in Seattle. They raise minimum wage to not even to $15 an hour. And the initial studies are showing that people are actually making less money overall because of it. This is not a stunning thing to a conservative or a libertarian, but it seems to just mesmerize the public. All they can take at the time these things break is what the government tells them. They accepted every Obamacare thing. We're going to save $2,500. People would say, this is going to cost a lot of money. And they would say, fact check, false. It will save $2,500. Like, that's just the president saying it. You can't just accept that. We would never do that. And it happens over and over and over again.
Well, here's the problem. If a car company did this, they would go out of business. Because the government would hold them responsible. If Humana did this, the government would hold them responsible. If all the people that Humana went out with an advertising campaign and said, you're going to save $2,500, and it ended up that your rate went up 141%, everyone would have someone to run to, and they would run to the press, and they would run to the government, and the government would shut Humana down for false advertising. But there's no one to run to. That's why our veterans are in such bad shape. Who are you going to run to? The government? The press? The press doesn't want to show that socialized medicine, because that's what that is. They don't want to show that socialized medicine doesn't work and show the hell that that really is. And the government isn't going to do anything. You know, yesterday I congratulated the president for actually firing, what was it, 500 people at the VA? First of all, that is 0.9% of those employed. But I'll take that. That's 500 more people than Barack Obama fired. Mm-hmm. So I'm thrilled. However, one thing you should be aware of is the government unions. They are contesting all of those fires. And in fact, the first guy he fired already has his job back. You are going to see these people sue the government, sue to make sure with their union to make sure that they were treated fairly, etc. They're going to be coming back into the system. And those who don't, I guarantee you, you will still be paying for in a rubber room, just like the unions have with teachers in Manhattan. Nothing's being fixed here. And that's the real tragedy, because we all know that it can be fixed. We all know that. We all know that it should be fixed and can be fixed. It's just that people aren't serious, and the system is so big that you don't even know how to get your arms around it. You don't even know what to do. That's why the founders wanted to keep things so small and so local, because the local people, it would never get to be so big that the local people couldn't fix it. And if the local people couldn't fix it, the state would be able to fix it. You've gone to the highest authority, and now they control everything. Where do you go when they can't fix it?
Nowhere. To go. Nowhere to go.
The UN?
Mm-hmm. Speaking of things that are so big you can't get your arms around them, did you hear Chris Christie on the radio yesterday?
No, we'll do that next. Our sponsor this half hour is LifeLock. Cybercrime is a big business and touches almost everybody. Recent FBI report shows that people across the country lost over $1 billion to internet crimes and scams in 2015 alone. Somebody's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. If there's a problem, a U.S.-based identity restoration specialist is going to work to fix it. Now, nobody can stop all identity theft or, you know, monitor all transactions at all businesses. But if you order right now, you're going to get the added protection of Norton Security free. Now, this is Norton Security will help make sure that no viruses are coming in, that nobody is hacking in. Now, you'll get it free for the first year when you bundle Norton and LifeLock together in memberships. For a limited time only, you'll also get a 15% discount off the first year of your LifeLock membership. So call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to lifelock.com. Use the promo code BECK15. That's BECK15. You'll get 15% off right now. Terms and conditions do apply. 1-800-LIFELOCK or lifelock.com. Promo code BECK15.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Okay. Donald Trump Jr. just released what he says is the whole email chain, but it is not. It is
most of it. It seems like.
Yeah, it's not the setup. It's just good morning. Would it be possible to move the meeting to 4 p.m. as the Russian attorney is in court until 3? I was just informed. Best, Rob. Great. It'll likely be Paul Manafort, campaign boss, my brother-in-law.
You're on a later part of this.
Oh, am I?
Yeah. It starts with, so they're talking about this meeting, which he explains in a statement that's left off.
Okay, I have the statement. To everyone, in order to be totally transparent, I'm releasing the entire email chain of my emails with Rob Goldstone about the meeting June 9th. First email, June 3rd, was from Rob, who was relating the request from Emin, the person I knew from 2013, Miss Universe pageant near Moscow.
That's the one that's not included. That's right. What he mentioned.
And that, I think, is probably an important one because it's the first one saying what the meeting would be for. The information they suggested, yes, see, they had about Hillary Clinton, I thought was political opposition research. I first wanted to have a phone call, but when that didn't work out, they said the woman would be in New York, and they asked if I would meet. I decided to take the meeting. The woman, as she had said public, was not a government official, and as I have said, she had no information to provide, wanted to talk about adoption policy. To put this in context, it occurred before the current Russian fever was in vogue.
And that is important to note. By the way, this was before everyone was claiming that they were working with Russia, before any of that happened. So if you take the Donald Trump Jr. kind of view of it, it was not an issue with Russia. And he gets a call from a friend and, you know, hey, yeah. Sure, I'll take the meeting. You can argue that.
My problem is not even taking the meeting. It really isn't. It's what happens after.
Yeah.
But he knows that she's a Russian attorney and, you know, track him down in Moscow, blah, blah, blah. He knows she's flying in from Moscow.
Right. So here's the whole chain. The initial emails is cut off, as you mentioned. Then Rob, the guy from Russia, emails and says, let me track him down in Russia. What number should he call? So as Trump
Jr. says he was looking to set up a call first. That was his first hope. Then he says, oh, okay, he's on stage in Moscow, but should be off in 20 minutes so I can have him call. All right. Then Rob, again, from Russia, emails again and says, Don, hope all is well. Amin asked that I schedule a meeting with you and the Russian government attorney.
So
that is how it is introduced to him.
Yeah, he's introduced a Russian government attorney.
Who is flying over from Moscow for this Thursday. I believe you are aware of this meeting and I wondered if 3 p.m. or later this Thursday works for you. I assumed it would be at your office. Then Don replies, how about 3 p.m. at our office? Thanks, Rob. Appreciate you helping set it up.
Perfect.
Rob responds, yep, perfect.
I won't sit in on the meeting, but I'll bring them at 3 p.m. and introduce you. I'll send you the names of two people meeting with you for security when you have them later today. Would it be possible to move the meeting till 4 p.m. as the Russian attorney? So, again, Donald Trump Jr. has been told it's a Russian attorney twice, but once a Russian government attorney.
Yes.
And we don't know how she was introduced to him in the first email. It's the one that I have a feeling is the one the New York Times was talking about, is the first email of this chain.
Yeah. Now, no part of this email chain that has been disclosed says he was going to meet with her to find out dirt on Hillary Clinton.
No.
However, that comes directly from Donald Trump Jr., who said he was going to try to get opposition research against her. So that's understood. The question is, the only thing that's revealed in this is that it was introduced to Donald Trump Jr. as a Russian government attorney who was providing this information.
So,
and that's really all the New York Times report said today. I mean, it said...
It said that there was also getting opposition research.
Right, but he's already admitted that.
Right.
He admitted that yesterday.
Correct. But getting opposition research from a government, a Russian government attorney is now different. Also new information of who this guy is that he's writing back and forth with. This is a guy, an English music producer who helped admin. I think that's the father of a big, you know, star. Trump has made videos with this kid. He's been over for his birthday party. It is Trump's, like, you know, really big one. He gave him a the Citizen of Honor award in Russia. Putin did. He's close friends. He's one of the biggest oligarchs over there. He is side by side with Putin.
I will say this is a smart way for Donald Trump Jr. to handle this, though.
Oh,
actually put it out.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, like, you know,
again, he didn't put out the first one, which is concerning. Yeah. But putting it out, most people aren't even going to read it. They're going to say, oh, well, he put it out, even though they didn't even read it. So it's a very smart move on the Trump side to release this. Back in just a second.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Yeah.
So that first
probably not good.
The first email is out now.
Okay, so
one that was cut off initially.
So let me go through this with you. This morning, 2 hours ago, we were talking to you about a hypothetical, something that the New York Times and CNN said they had seen, and we added the caveat: if it says that, you know, they have information and he knows that it's from the Russian government, then there's a problem.
But we didn't trust the New York Times or CNN.
We didn't trust them.
So
this is, I believe, worse than what I thought. Here is the first email from Rob Goldstone. Good morning. Amin just called and asked me to contact you with something very interesting. Now, so you know, Amin is a very good friend of Donald Trump Sr. And is, you know, very, very close with Vladimir Putin.
Work with him on the Miss Universe thing.
Yes.
Though,
right? In Russia.
Yes. Yeah. He's a Russian citizen, an oligarch, a bad one. Amin just called and asked me to contact you with something very interesting. The Crown Prosecutor of Russia met with his father, Aras, this morning. And actually, Aras is the oligarch. Amin is the son. The Crown Prosecutor of Russia met with his father, Aris, this morning, and in their meeting offered to provide the Trump campaign with some official documents and information that would incriminate Hillary and her dealings with Russia and would be very useful to your father. This is obviously very high level and sensitive information, but it is part of Russia and its government support for Mr. Trump. I never thought, no way, you couldn't have, I think a lot of thing about the Trumps, no way were they involved in collusion. This is obviously very high level and sensitive information, but this is part of Russia and its government support for Mr. Trump, helped along by Aris and Emin. What do you think the best way to handle this information would be? Will you be able to speak to Emin about it directly? I also can send this information to your father via Rona, but it is ultra sensitive, so I wanted to send it to you first. Thanks, Rob. I appreciate it. I'm on the road for a moment. I could just speak to Emin first. Seems like we have some time, and if it's what you say, I love it, especially late in the summer, meaning coordination. Could we do a call first thing next week when I'm back? Yes, Don, let me know when you're free to talk with Emin by phone about this Hillary information you had mentioned earlier this week, so I tried to schedule time, and best day to you and your family, Rob. Holy cow. That is, there's your smoking gun. It's not just, isn't it?
It's amazing. I mean, first of all, again, like you have to say that the New York Times report was accurate. I mean, this exactly was released, what they said was in it.
This was released by Donald Trump Jr.
Yes. So we know 100% it comes from Trump.
Yeah.
So we know that that's accurate. I mean, you know, look, I think you can still make the argument that, hey, he got this. He got the tip from some guy he knows, didn't think about it from a foreign, you know, I mean, it says right in there, but was excited to get information to beat up his opponent.
But he was coordinating. Listen, there's no way. I mean, Stu, help me, please. Convince me. Mm-hmm. Crown Prosecutor of Russia. So that's not the girl he's going to meet with. He's saying the Crown Prosecutor of Russia.
I thought the Crown Prosecutor, that is who they're referring to when they say.
I'm not sure. I don't.
The female lawyer?
Yeah,
is she the Crown? I don't know, because they refer to the lawyer as him in that email, right?
Yes. Yeah. So I don't think it's the same.
It can't be the same.
What he's saying here is the Crown Prosecutor of Russia. So that's like the Attorney General of Russia.
Right. Okay.
The Attorney General of Russia Amin's father, right, the good friend of Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. They met this morning about whatever we don't know. And in the meeting, he offered to provide the Trump campaign. So now here is the attorney general going to an oligarch saying, hey, you're friends with Donald Trump, right? Yeah. I want you to pass on to them that we have information at a very high level that we want to pass to them. We have official documents and information that will incriminate Hillary and her dealings with Russia. It'll be very useful for them. So then the father asks Emin to call Goldstone, who knows Donald Trump Jr., and say, hey, can we get this? By the way, Aris is going to fax this through Rhonda just to get it to your dad. But it's very high level, and I wanted to talk to somebody and let them know that it was coming. He then says, it's very high level, sensitive information, but it is part of Russia and its government support for Mr. Trump, helped along by Aris and Emin. So, in other words, somebody, I don't even want to jump there. We know that a good friend, an oligarch of Donald Trump, has been helping the government along to support Donald Trump. I'll send this information to your father. I will send this information to your father via Rona.
It's going to be a nightmare.
This is
the Democrats
over.
Are going to.
How do you not go with this?
Look,
I think you can make an argument it's not as bad as it feels. However, I would say, well, because, I mean, like, look, Donald Trump Jr. is just, he's not in, he's not, a, he's anyway.
I will send the information to your father via Rona.
Right, but he didn't, right? I mean, we went to, as far as we know, at least at this point, it went to him instead. But now, of course, he's going to tell his dad about it, right? Yeah. Although he said he didn't get anything out of it.
No, he didn't. He already said he didn't tell his dad.
I guess
his dad didn't know.
My point would be,
don't even worry about that.
You can argue that it wasn't. I don't know. Like, to me, I would never take a meeting with a Russian government official, even if it was trying to sink an opponent. I don't understand why you would do that. But you know what? Look, remember, this is not only people who have dealt in these circles for a while and do anything to win, as they say, as they've pointed out a million times. They were also at the time pretty desperate, if you remember right. So, but is it so that maybe did they bend this line and take this meeting? I think the answer to that is yes.
But wait, yes, they did.
However,
you gotta let's look at this. This is still 3 weeks before WikiLeaks breaks, and Donald Trump acts surprised. We all knew at the time WikiLeaks got their information from the Kremlin. This is Russia feeding this and leaking this. So we know now that Russia was hacking in to the DNC servers, was gathering sensitive information. And then this is treason. We've got a guy on the other side on Russia that released information. And we say it's treason. If he comes back and he tried for treason, what's his face?
Snowden.
Snowden. Mm-hmm. We think that's treason when he's done that to us. So here's Russia doing to it. Now, they can't be treasonous because they're not Americans. That they released, they hacked, they got in, they stole the information and then released it to the world. And Donald Trump was acting like it was a surprise and like, oh, please, Russia, go ahead, release the rest.
Well, and when you put it like that, sure, it sounds bad.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, do you have to put it like that?
No,
you don't.
No, I don't.
You could put it another way.
I can guarantee you. I can guarantee you. Everyone else.
Oh, the Democrats are going to put it a lot worse than that.
Oh yeah, no, but the Republicans are also going to close. We are witnessing, Pat, what you and I remember in the 1970s with our dads.
Yeah.
We remember. I remember my dad
with
defending Nixon,
turning into a crook. And
yeah, and it was only at the very end.
Yeah, supported him.
Supported him
nonstop until all the evidence came out.
Right,
and then
tell me how you get Tell me how you have a family that doesn't tell the president that, yes, Dad, the Russians were colluding with us.
There's almost no way he doesn't
and
know.
That's
almost no way.
Right. I mean, I think you could still make an argument. Look, you're trying to find information against your, to help your dad, and you take a meeting that maybe you shouldn't have taken. But nothing really came of it, so you kind of blew it off in your head. You can make that argument. It's a stretch at some level. I grant you, and I don't necessarily believe it, but like I think you can make that case. It's very difficult to understand how after you've won the presidency and you're in the middle of an investigation on this topic, how this could not have been disclosed until last week.
Right. And beyond that, how this could be disclosed in the last couple of weeks that this even happened. And before that, and even after that, your father, the president of the United States, is saying there was no collusion. I mean, you know, honestly, let's say that Hillary Clinton really didn't know that her husband was fooling around. We all think that she did. But once she found out, don't you say, you son of a bitch. You did this to me. Let's just put yourself in this situation. You're the president of the United States. Your son is exchanging emails like this. And then he leaves with your son-in-law and your campaign manager, and they start to write speeches about this kind of information. You start tweeting stuff, and you really don't know. And then you win. Okay, then it starts to be investigated, and you have me go out in front of everybody going, there is no collusion. I'm telling you there's no collusion. We never did that. We didn't talk to anybody from Russia. There was never any coordination of anything. In fact, I believe them so much, I'm telling you our CIA and our NSA is wrong, and they'll never find anything because there wasn't anything there, and they didn't not only collude with us, they're not even trying to hack into our systems and try to affect our elections. And that's why I'm suggesting we partner up with Russia and we share cybersecurity together. Then you read today, and you really are innocent. You had nothing to do with it. And you're president of the United States. Do you not go in and say, son, excuse me, but you son of a bitch, what the hell were you thinking? You let me spend the last 9 months, 8 months telling the American people I just met with Putin and you knew that he was colluding with you and I suggested cybersecurity partnership when they were the ones that hacked into the DNC and you knew it? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, this is very, very close to treason.
I mean, because, you could look at from the Trump perspective, from the Donald Trump senior perspective. If you want to look at this as we know it right now, we don't have evidence that
Donald
even knew about this meeting. Right. We know that Kushner and but Kushner left 2 minutes into it. Reportedly, and
we
Manafort didn't say anything in the meeting.
We do know that Rob Goldstone said, "I can send this information to your father via Rona." So
we don't know that happened.
We don't know if that
he just
happened,
suggested it as a possibility. But again, like for example, Kellyanne Conway was out on the air a few weeks ago, or maybe a couple months ago, saying no meetings happened from anyone in the campaign with anyone from Russia. That is absolutely false. It never happened. You guys just keep saying fake news and
when
saying
did she
it happens.
Say that?
It was on Stefan. We have the clip. We can.
So was this weekend?
No, they brought her back on this weekend and said, "Hey, wait a minute. Actually, there were meetings, weren't there?" And she said, "Well, it looks like those disclosure forms have been updated. So yes,
oh
there."
Gosh.
But I mean, imagine sending your own people out, knowing that information.
No, very bad.
And telling them to deny
it's unbelievable.
It.
Donald Trump Jr. by himself, let's not implicate anybody else. All we know is that Donald Trump Jr. knew that there was collusion. He was part of the collusion. Very bad. Very bad. And should go to jail. Now this, the team you build is essential to your company's successes. And with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100+ job sites with just one click. Over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiters get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. Other job sites depend on candidates finding you. With ZipRecruiter, it finds them. ZipRecruiter is different. Their technology matches the right people to your job, so there's no juggling emails or calls to your office. You just screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by all businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, you can use your ZipRecruiter for free. Post jobs at ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. Try it. Just go there. Get it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
This, I have to tell you, I am shocked. I am literally shocked. I have said for almost a year, you think whatever you want, but you're just not going to find collusion. You're not going to find them, meeting with Boris. That just didn't happen. I really am shocked by this email. He just released it. Donald Trump Jr. just released it because the New York Times had it and was going to release it here in an hour or so with a story. Oh boy, Stu just covered his eyes.
Rob Goldstone actually checked in on Facebook at Trump Tower on June 9th. These people are amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I just never thought that you would have something like this. This shows that, yes, he knew he was meeting with a government official, that these were official government documents, and that he said, hey, this is great, especially later this summer. That is saying, that's colluding. That's giving you the tip of, hey, it'll be more helpful, you know, maybe around August than it is right now, but I love it. I can't believe that this has happened.
Yeah, well, Hillary, one of her emails. Look at the Hillary emails. What about her? What about that?
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.